It's Wrecking Ball Radio. This is Stavin's Den.
All right, we are back. Thank you for hanging out with Joe and I. Been a fun, interesting first portion. Now we'll do some stories, but we'll start with some turbulent air. Interesting story from Delta Airlines having to do with the festivities this week down in D.C. and what happened a few weeks ago. Where the fuck is the turbulent air thing? God damn it. Can't find what I'm looking for. There it is. All right.
This is your captain speaking. If you look to your right, you'll see a beautiful, serene river. If you look to your left, majestic mountains. Uh-oh. Straight ahead, it seems like we have a big black cloud. We're going to need you to fasten your seatbelts, folks, because it looks like we're in for a turbulent flight.
All right. So, Delta Airlines will prohibit Washington, D.C.-bound flyers from checking firearms ahead of the inauguration of President-elect Joe Biden. The ban will be in effect from Saturday, January 16th to Saturday, January 23rd, a Delta rep told the Post. We're all on high alert based on the events of the last couple of weeks up in Washington, CEO Ed Bastian told CNBC Squawk Box. We're going to not allow anyone to check a firearm into any of the D.C. metro airports starting this weekend and carrying it through next week, unless you're law enforcement and you're authorized to be carrying one. Delta is not the only airline taking additional precautions in the wake of the pro-President Trump riot that saw five people die. It's up to seven now, by the way. American Airlines banned alcohol on flights in and out of D.C. Recent days have seen a number of incidents involving rowdy customers on planes and in airports, including one in which Trump supporters on a Delta flight heckled Utah Senator Mitt Romney, the lone Republican senator to vote to oust Trump after he was impeached. By Bastian said, 99.9% of Delta customers are really great. I don't want to overreact. I think this is a moment, hopefully in time, with the outcry around the election results. I think all things considered, it's probably a good thing that Delta's doing, considering how hot everybody is.
I don't think it's a bad idea. I don't think it's a bad idea at all. You got to be reasonable. Like, well, why can't I bring my gun to Washington? Well, you know, lately shit's been going on. And, you know, you can wait till after the 23rd.
I'll go one further. I don't think I know they're exempting law enforcement, but, I mean, we're finding a lot – not a lot. We're finding some law enforcement and even some National Guardsmen should not be trusted with this. So, listen, you can still get to D.C. You just might have to drive. Although it's hard to get it. Listen, I just – normally I would say, well, of course you give an exemption to law enforcement. But, we haven't been able to vet everybody. I mean, they're removing people from the task tomorrow of the National Guard. There was police partaking in these riots. There was firemen partaking in the riots. You know, now people in Congress are looking side-eyed at each other because reportedly some of the most outrageous Republican Congress people were, like, giving tours to the infiltrators, the insurrectionists, the day before. It's an extraordinary time. I have no problem with it. I don't want to see this necessarily become law. I mean, rules, but it's
neither do I. And if you're in law enforcement and you're like, well, you know, I understand you're this and that and the other thing, and you can't really check the gun on the plane, you got to understand. You know, I mean, especially being in law enforcement, get it.
Yeah, listen, I think all the airlines should do it. I get it. You know, people like, oh, my Second Amendment rights. I get it. You still have the right. You just can't bring it on the plane. You could drive.
Yeah. What they should do, though, I'm sure they did, if you buy your ticket, they have to let you know when you buy your ticket that you can't bring a firearm during that time. Just for the simple reason is if you are in law enforcement and, you know, or a law-abiding citizen, now you're at the airport, now you got the damn gun, now you got to go home.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I mean,
you got to let the people know. But,
yeah, I mean, so if you purchase your ticket and they go, look, we're having a ban on firearms on the plane. We don't know if you carry it, but and that's fine. You leave the damn thing home.
Agreed. All right, this one's an interesting story. I've never heard of this before. You remember who Curt Schilling is?
Yes.
Curt Schilling pitched for the Red Sox. Perhaps one of his famous moments was 2004 when he pitched against the Yankees with the bloody sock. He had a bloody sock, and the Yankees did not bunt on him for whatever reason. He's a dominant pitcher. He pitched for the Diamondbacks. He's won World Series, I believe, with the Diamondbacks, with the Red Sox. A very good Major League pitcher. Since that time, I think he had a gig with ESPN that he eventually lost because he's very outspoken politically, and I'm using that mildly. So this is a story about him. The Post calls him a firebrand. He's a firebrand. Curt Schilling has accused insurance giant AIG of canceling his policy because of his social media profile. Schilling, an outspoken supporter of President Trump, also tied the company's alleged retaliation to the coming storm. By the way, when a storm comes, it comes in sleet. And recent election wins...
As long as it's covered.
What?
As long as it's covered.
Well, listen, if it's sleeting out, that's some storm come. You might want to bring an umbrella and some galoshes. It's going to get nasty.
Right.
Nobody wants to come home covered in storm come. But anyway... let's see. So the coming storm and recent election wins by President-elect Joe Biden and Senate Democrats. We will be just fine, but wanted to let Americans know that at AIG Insurance canceled our insurance due to my social media profile, Schilling tweeted on Tuesday. Please understand that this and will in no way be a one-off. This is the coming storm. I'm sleeting. This is the future of the nation. If we allow Democrats, spelled D-E-M-O-K-K-K-R-A-T-S, the power they fraudulently came into, at their core, this is exactly who they are. Power and control, then F you, he said, defending the people that wanted to take over the government by force. Schilling, who tweets under the name President-elect Curt Schilling, okay, didn't pinpoint exactly what he thinks got him into hot water with AIG, but reports suggest that... If reports suggested it was a January 6th tweet that followed the deadly storming of the U.S. Capitol by Trump supporters. This is a tweet. Excuse me. His tweet. You cowards sat on your hands, did nothing while liberal trash looted, rioted, and burned for Air Jordans and big screens. Sit back, STFU, shut the fuck up, and watch folks start a confrontation for shit. Although he did not spell out shit that matter, or maybe he did, I don't know. Matters like rights, democracy, at the end of government corruption, Schilling wrote according to The Blaze. So again, I just got to stop this, then we'll get to the subject. He's talking about democracy, and he's defending where people want to kill our democratically elected leaders. Kurt, methinks a civics is not your strong suit, my friend. Stick to pitching, pal. What you think politically one way or the other is fine, but you can't be pro-democracy and pro-killing the people in charge by force. They don't work hand in hand. AIG did not immediately return a request for comment, and why would they? So I put the poll there. So this is the poll question. Former MLB pitcher Curt Schilling claims AIG Insurance dropped his coverage because of his inflammatory social media. Should insurance companies be able to drop you over social media posts? 33.3% said yes. 66.7% said no. It's an interesting thing here. Now, I could understand on the one hand if Curt Schilling was a spokesman for AIG. And they go, no, you're no longer a spokesman. Because as we've talked about, he'd be representing...
Right.
He'd be representing the brand. As a private citizen, I don't like them taking it away. Unless, and again, I don't know what type of insurance he has and what the insurance clause he has. But if there's something about there about mental health or mental fitness, say it's like a life insurance thing or health insurance, and they feel that violated the policy... Then I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, because I was thinking it's the same thing. If it was a homeowner's policy or an auto insurance policy, it gives a shit what he thinks. If it's a life insurance policy, he might be saying inflammatory things that could affect his life, you know?
Yeah.
That'd be a threat. But here's the deal. He didn't pinpoint why AIG dropped him.
Correct.
I mean, it could be another it sounds like horse shit to me. I don't see any reason why AIG would drop him or why they would even give a shit.
No, it's got to be something to affect the policy where they go, all right, because insurance is essentially they're investing. An insurance company invests that you're never going to need them. That's the fucking investment. And they probably look at this and go, oh, fuck, he might need us. Let's get rid of him now. I mean, that's what happens. I mean, now you can make the argument, well, insurance companies shouldn't be able to do that, and that might be a valid argument, but chances are they did it legally.
I'd like to see the backstory. I mean, when I was married, I mean, MetLife, I was paying a fortune with MetLife. And I'm like, MetLife doesn't like me because of my beliefs. That's why they raised my auto policy. No, I live with somebody that drove like fucking Vin Diesel. And it was under the same roof. That's why my policy went through the roof, you know? So there's all sorts of variables on this.
Yeah, it's
it. And you know what? Kurt Schilling, you know, he's a what was it? A firebrand.
A firebrand.
A firebrand. So he's going to say all sorts of wacky shit, you know?
Yeah, I don't know what he's going for here. I mean, this guy was beloved. He was beloved in a liberal city like Boston. I mean, listen, this guy can say whatever he wants. I don't care what he says. But he's cost himself.
You know what? So Giuliani was beloved in a liberal city like New York. He lost his fucking marbles, too, you know? I mean.
Well, Joe, who's crazier? The batshit lawyer or the person who hires the batshit lawyer?
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, but Giuliani, listen, I could make an excuse for Giuliani. Listen, he's just trying to get close to power. That's what Rudy Giuliani's doing. He's trying to get close. At least you can make an excuse for it. Not that we think he should be doing it. But Kurt Schilling, what are you doing? You're ruining your career. I mean, what? I mean, you can be outspoken for whatever politics you want. You don't have to be an inflammatory turd about it.
Yeah, but the thing about it is. The thing about it is, well, they dropped me over my social media post. Well, what was actually the reason? I don't know.
Yeah.
And then AIG is probably like, well, what's going on with this? And they're like, what? This guy, no, why? You know, and there's got to be, there's a reason they're not discussing.
Listen, one of the things with the Obamacare was it prevented insurance, it limited why insurance companies could get rid of your health insurance and everything. Insurance companies could get rid of you just because they want to. Jersey, years ago, when I lived in New Jersey, I lost my car insurance before they made a law where they couldn't do it because they just wanted to drop me. Now they have to have a reason to do it. But at the time, they didn't have to have a reason. They could just drop me. It's a fucking insurance company. You know? Maybe Kurt
about your views, you know.
Yeah, like if he actually wanted to be productive, which I don't think he's capable of being, but if he wanted to be productive, I got dropped from my insurance. I don't know why. It's not fair. We need to do something to reform these insurance companies because if it's happening to me, it's happening to other people. Like he said, he's going to be fine. If Kurt Schilling wanted to do something productive there, he'd probably have a lot more support instead of going off half cocked about democracy and sticking up for democracy, defending the people that stormed the Capitol. That's not democracy, you dumb motherfucker.
Well, he's got a picture for going half cocked off all sorts of stuff, you know. So, you know this, but it's like it's ridiculous.
Yeah. So we agree. We don't think people should get kicked off of it just because of their social media, but there's probably other things involved.
Yeah, and as soon as I read the first three paragraphs of doing show prep, I'm like, yeah, this, what the fuck is this guy doing?
He's a fucking idiot. Like you brought
up before. Look, if he was a spokesman, and I had to reread it, Davin, I had to reread it a couple of times, mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, he's got to be a spokesman here. I mean, no, it's not. No, he wasn't, you know? So, yeah. So I can't even, and reading that, I can't even lean to the AIG. Ah, those guys, AIG. No, I think Kurt Schilling's nuts.
Yeah. He's just a bad risk.
No, I mean, come on.
Like I said, insurance is all about risk and investing. He's a bad investment right now. This guy, because he makes it sound like he's going to fucking storm the Capitol. Now I got to pay out to his wife because this dumb motherfucker got killed on the Capitol stairs? Fuck that.
If it's on a life insurance policy, he could be deemed a problem.
Yeah.
I mean, insurance companies, they look every variable. My ex-father-in-law lived about 12 miles from the ocean, and the insurance company said that he was a flood risk.
Ugh.
And it's like, exactly. You're like, can you believe it? I go, this is ridiculous, Dad. You're 12 miles from the ocean. I know where I am. It's close, you know. But it's, you know, the insurance company, oh, you're a flood risk. Really? Let me tell you something. You're flooding 12 miles in. it's the end of the world.
I mean, listen, Curt Schilling, he should worry about insurance reform if that's the issue. Don't combine insurance reform with your hate of Democrats. Two fucking different things. Well, you're entitled to do both, but one of them might actually be productive. All right, we'll go on.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. School of Fools. This was Pip's blog. It's a sad story. Not the Pip's not with us. That's a sad story too. But that's not why we're doing it. Where the fuck is it? Can't find anything tonight, Joe.
Yeah, what are you doing?
I'm fucking up. That's what I'm doing. Here it is. Oh, I had it all ready to go. What an asshole. All right, a school of fools.
You better text yourself after the show.
Yeah, what do you want from me?
Ask yourself what the fuck.
What do you want from me? Doing the best I can. Alrighty, parents of a bullied 8-year-old Ohio student who died by suicide can move forward with a lawsuit against school officials for wrongful death, a panel ruled. The 3-judge panel of the six U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals said Gabriel Tay's parents had established that Cincinnati public school officials acted recklessly in handling the bullying and rejected the district's claim for governmental immunity in the case. In the court ruling Tuesday, Judge Bernice Bowie Donald wrote that the district ultimately prevented Tay's parents from fully understanding Tay's horrifying experience at Carson Elementary until it was too late. His parents, Cornelia Reynolds and Benyam Tay, claim in their suit that Carson Elementary School administrators either misrepresented or failed to inform them of bullying incidents before he took his own life on January 26. The suit alleges that the bullying started when Gabriel was in the first grade but grew worse when he entered the third grade. On January 24, 2017, other students allegedly knocked him unconscious by throwing him against a bathroom wall, the suit says. He stayed home sick the next day, only to return to school January 26th and be tormented in the bathroom by students who took his water bottle and tried to flush it down the toilet, according to his parents. He killed himself that evening in his bedroom. Jennifer Branch, the attorney general of Gabriel's mother, said the truth about what happened to Gabe at Carson Elementary needs to be revealed and shared with the parents. We have been able to gather testimony and evidence these last few months. Now we can proceed to trial. The defendant's attorney, Aaron Herzig, declined to say whether there would be further appeals of a ruling. This is a preliminary decision based on plaintiff's side of the story and assuming that everything they say in their complaint is true, said the defendant's attorney. However, it does not reflect the facts as they developed throughout this case. So this was another one of the poll questions. The question I asked was, U.S. Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled parents of a bullied 8-year-old who committed suicide can sue officials for wrongful death as the school did not let parents know what was happening. Should schools be liable when children commit suicide? 70% said yes. 30% said no. First of all, what a god-awful story. An 8-year-old is tormented for several years, knocked unconscious, and then kills himself. What a horrible story. That being said, if they can prove, and I read some other articles on it, where if they can prove that the school wasn't telling them what they knew or willfully lied, yeah, make them accountable. We got to stop this nonsense.
Yeah, it seems that it seems that it was accountable. Like they said that, well, when the facts come out, and this was on the defendant's side, the plaintiff's side, it's interesting to say what evidence that they had that it wasn't to the contrary, but everything is here. It's horrible that they didn't act out. Also, I want to comment that the judge's name, Bernice Rui Donald, she sounds like she's a roller derby queen with that name.
Oh, okay, Joe. thank you for your spot on legal analysis.
You know, after flying over the rails, she landed on the floor and said, "You know what? I'm getting into law," and which is commendable. But this is an awful story where I can't understand, especially if the kid was knocked unconscious. You know that they didn't do anything.
They have it on camera. Yeah. Like one of the images, you see his legs. You know, they're like in the bathroom. Like, what the fuck is going on? Is nobody looking at the footage? Hey, it's not normal for kids to lie down in a bathroom and not move. Maybe we should look into this.
Now, I wonder why the parents didn't, you know, on the parents' end, you know, after that, I wonder why they didn't, like, try to take him out of school.
I don't think they knew. I mean, from what I've read, it seems like the school outright lied to them about what was going on. And, you know,
your child comes home and he's bruised and he's beaten and you go back to the school, and I'm not damning the parents. It just seems, you know, I'm bringing an element of the story up, you know, where if that was that bad and your kid is coming home in tears and crying and he's bruised, that you would go back to the school and saying, you know, what's going on with my kid? And they're like, well, nothing. When you either get to the bottom, I fucking sue you, you know? So it's just,
I don't think this boy Gabe was telling his parents what was going on. He's probably embarrassed. He's an 8-year-old. You know, he's probably feeling shame. I mean, as far as bruises, I don't know. I mean, this is going to come out wrong, but I'm unfamiliar with how bruising shows up on African American young boys. I don't know. Like, you see a white person, it's a lot easier to see a bruise. I don't know. I haven't seen enough bruised African American children, thank goodness. So I don't know. And if he hit his,
but I'm sure you. You know, it transcends being black or white. I think, you know, you love your daughter. You care about your daughter. Your wife does too. If she comes home and anything is amiss or looks amiss, you wouldn't miss a trick on that.
Right, but my daughter is very quiet and she doesn't talk much and she internalizes stuff. So. It's hard to have a conversation with her. I don't know this kid, Gabe.
But not a conversation, not emotional damage, but, you know, in the case of this, physical damage.
Physical damage.
You know your daughter, you know.
I mean, listen, my daughter's older now, so, you know, an 8-year-old child, you see their body more. But my daughter's a high school daughter. She's got big baggy sweatshirts on and pants. You know, she runs into the bathroom. We're not really seeing her skin. I mean, she got punched in the face.
Plus, your daughter will kick all our asses.
Sure, she's a black belt. But
black belt, you know.
No, I mean, like, unless somebody busted my daughter's nose, which she could make an excuse for, I wouldn't necessarily know. I don't want to blame the parents here because there's no indication.
Well, I'm not blaming the parents. I'm just bringing up a question on the story, you know, which would be a question that you would bring up, you know.
Well, they will.
On this.
They will in court, but listen, I think, yeah. You know, you got to ask, is there a duty to intervene? Because, like, if you see somebody getting killed on the street, you have no duty to intervene. But these are children in schools. These are minors, and you are their caretakers while in the school. So I would think there is a duty to intervene there. Now, I don't know the legality of it, but I would think the law would say that there would be a duty to intervene since you are taking care of minors.
Hey, look, I don't know about you, but I got into, you know, to fights in junior high and in high school and stuff like that. And they didn't brush it under the rug. I mean, you get hauled to the principal's office, your parents get called. You get suspended, or I mean, there was one time in junior high, this girl punched me in the face, and I threw her down on the ground, and we both wound up in detention for a week, you know? And she's going, this is your fault. I go, you fucking punched me. But nonetheless, our parents were called, you know, and we had to sit there for a week. You know, they didn't brush it under the rug, and they could have brushed it under the rug, and they didn't.
Which?
I feel that it's absolute negligence,
yes,
on the school's part, that parents weren't notified, suspensions weren't given, the school psychologist was not called, and with all the attention on bullying, pretty much it's prevalent on online bullying, not physical bullying anymore, but still the physical bullying's there, that the school did nothing. I mean, this is and the poor kid killed himself.
Yeah,
you know,
for an eight-year-old to kill himself.
You know, if he said anything to the parents, if he gave an indication for this poor kid to hold this in, you know, it's unconscionable what happened.
Listen, this cannot happen again. The system failed this child. This cannot happen again. If it is proven that they are negligent and that they lied and everything, sue them for everything they're worth. It's never going to bring back little Gabe, but hopefully it'll save the next kid. I'm all for it. I think the court did the right thing by letting this proceed.
Oh, absolutely. 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 And, you know, and we'll find out what happened on this.
Yeah, this one's an interesting. I picked interesting stories this week, or interesting things happened in the news this week. One of the three white Georgia men charged in last year's shooting death of black jogger Ahmaud Arbery wants to be released from prison because of his high blood pressure. This was the jogger. I'm sure you've seen the video, Joe, where this African American man in his 20s was jogging in a neighborhood, and then they surrounded him. and they killed him. You know what I'm talking? You know what story I'm talking?
And that was the father and the son and one other guy, right?
The father, the son, and the guy who pulled up, who filmed it all. So you know what story I'm talking about?
Yes, I do.
Okay. William Roddy Bryan, 51, to release on humanitarian grounds because of his health condition, his lawyer said, and papers filed in Glynn County Superior Court. First Coast News said in a report, he has already seen a cardiologist and is medicated, but the sporadic checks of his blood pressure regularly reflect blood pressure in excess of 180 over 100, attorney Kevin Goff said. Normal blood pressure is less than 120 over 80. Assuming he survives long enough to have a trial, Mr. Bryan's ability to attend, follow along, and participate meaningfully in his own trial would be greatly impaired if this issue is not addressed, Goff said, according to the newspaper. The document filed December 31st asked for Bryan to be granted a new bond hearing. Bryan and two other men, Gregory McMichael and his son Travis, are charged with murder for allegedly chasing down Arbery while he jogged through their neighborhood. Bryan is accused of jumping in his truck on February 23rd and joining the McMichaels' chase of Arbery, who was ultimately cut off and shot dead by Travis McMichael with a shotgun. Footage of the slaying shot by Bryan later went viral and focused national attention on the case, prompting the Georgia Bureau of Investigation to investigate. The controversial case lingered for weeks until state prosecutors jumped in and filed charges in May after local prosecutors were accused of botching the case. All three men are being held without bail. So what's interesting about this guy is he hasn't been convicted of anything yet. That's the interesting thing. So innocent until proven guilty. Humanitarian causes. It's really a tough call. But then I feel like we'd have too many people who maybe shouldn't be allowed to be running around. So I don't know what to do with this one.
You could give him his medication in jail.
Well, they are.
You can release and you could do that, or you could have it under house arrest. You could have him under house arrest.
Well, that's what they're deciding, Joe. House arrest.
I'm sorry?
Well, I think that's one of the things on the table. But the question before us is, should they let him out of jail?
If it was something that would keep him alive or in decent health for the trial, yeah. And then he gets tried, and if he's guilty, he goes to jail and he takes his medicine there. But I think for what he did, for him to pass away and not come under the scrutiny of a trial, I think would be remiss if the, you know, did not let him stay home.
Yeah, but a lot of people would have high blood pressure in jail. It's very stressful there. It's not a fucking spa. So I would think, you know, you're not gonna have normal levels of anything.
You know what though? You actually screwed up your point, because I was in absolute agreement with you until you said he has not been charged and he is presumed innocent.
Right, of course. Well, I'm not making a point.
I know. So that contradicts that. So if he's got that condition, put him under house arrest, and then when he's convicted, then he goes off to the Who's Gal, and they'll send him his little medication bottle with him.
I'm just afraid of the precedent it sets. And we do a video of the guy fucking, you know, filming it and boxing the guy in. It's not like a he said, she said type of thing in this case. We got the video, stupid.
But, you know, like I said, going back up to you, you know, you swayed me. The presumption, you know, we're going by the court system, and he's innocent until proven guilty.
Yes, technically. I'm just afraid too many people are going to, I have the sniffles. I need to be out of jail for humanitarian. I'm just afraid of that. But, yeah, I mean.
Well, it's like a lot of things that we discussed, Adam, where there, and a lot of, well, if we do this, then it's going to, you know, then it's just going to be a roller coaster. So, so if that was the case, going by that, okay, and I would say, then you know what? Keep him incarcerated and give him his medication. And it's like, you know, we saw you on this. I mean, you haven't had your trial yet. However, we have you on film doing this, and you know, you're gonna stay incarcerated until you get your we'll give you your medication, and then after your trial, we'll decide what we'll do then.
Well, the
it's a tough call on that, you know?
The indication is the medicine is not doing enough to keep down his blood pressure. I think you probably should let him out under house arrest, but it doesn't make me happy. But I think that's probably
Here's the way to look at it, too. You have a doctor examine him and then go, all right, doctor, in your opinion, will he be fit for trial if he stays incarcerated here at jail? Or will he be fit for trial or be able alive for trial if he stays at home? You go under the doctor's recommendation.
Well, you get one doctor. You'll get two doctors, though. The prosecution will have a doctor and the defense will have a doctor, and they'll say opposite things. You know, if we're going to be humanitarian, listen, we had a story about this a couple of weeks ago where the guy was in jail and he wanted out. They let him out. He was a terrorist and they let him out a couple of weeks because of COVID. And I was like, fuck that. That guy was guilty. Don't let him out a day early. Because this guy's not been found guilty yet, although he's going to be, I think you work out some type of house arrest thing. I think it's the right thing to do. It just doesn't feel good, but I think it's the right thing to do.
You know what? It doesn't feel good, but you want him healthy enough to get to be in front of the court.
No. I've seen enough. He could die. I don't give a shit. Saves expenses. I don't need to waste money fucking housing and feeding this clown.
But do you feel that if he died and didn't make it to court and was not charged, do you feel that the family of the young man that was shot would not have closure?
Oh, no, because they have two other murderers to go after.
But still,
listen, I can't speak for the family. Thank God I've never been in that position. Nothing is going to bring back their son. You know, I don't know how the family feels about it. Like I said, there are two other murderers, accused murderers. But as a society, if we're looking at society and the right thing to do is try to figure out some type of house arrest thing so he can stand trial. That's probably the right thing to do, as much as I don't like it.
As much as you don't want to do it, the end result is having him alive and able to stand trial.
Now,
you know?
Now, once he's found guilty, we're going to give you your medication. We're going to do the best we can. We're not fucking letting you out for humanitarian reasons. You should have thought about that before you killed somebody.
No, yeah, right. Bullshit. Off to the who's gal with you.
Yeah.
And they'll shove your medication between the bars every fucking day. You know? Yeah, it's a tough call. You have to have, you know, the ends justify the means, you know? So, yeah.
All right. Let's do our final story before our second break, and then hopefully Pip will join us, although there's no guarantees. Let's see. Here we go.
At the end of the conversation, you forgot to say hi, Hitler.
This is the fun type of Nazi news, not the shit that's being reported most of the time on our TV screens. Not the motherfuckers with the there's swastikas involved, but this is a fun type of Nazi news. What do you say, Joe?
Yes, little lighthearted Nazi.
Lighthearted Nazis, the type of Nazis we like.
A little lighthearted Nazi story.
Sure. Russian police are investigating bizarre circus performance featuring a monkey in a Nazi costume and goats sporting swastikas, according to a report Wednesday. The animals were caught on camera parading around the state circus of Udmurtia in Izhevsk with handlers dressed in Soviet uniforms last week, according to the UK Sun. Wild footage shows goats in red swastika capes hoofing it next to a monkey wearing a formal black Nazi uniform. Well, he's a monkey. I mean, he has to look his best. The performance seen by kids and commissioned by the Russian Orthodox Church potentially violates a Russian law banning the display of Nazi symbols, the outlet reported. Local police and prosecutors are looking into whether the show glorifies Adolf Hitler or Nazi culture. But the church said performers were simply using animal actors to depict the country's historic victory over Hitler during World War II. And nothing says war like goats. the performance of trainers wearing Soviet military. thank you.
I'll throw that in.
thank you. Yes. The performance of trainers wearing Soviet military uniforms with animals carrying Nazi symbols was used as an image not only of victory over fascism, a church rep told the outlet. It depicts worldwide condemnation ideals of Nazi Germany. You could say a lot with a monkey. The circus added that nobody involved in the act is actually bananas for the Third Reich. I'm going to guess that was the New York Post doing what the New York Post does. Trainers in the form of Red Army soldiers were chasing trained animals wearing Nazi symbols. Last year, Vladimir Putin signed an exemption to allow swastikas to be worn in performances if they depict Nazis negatively. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, Nazis, never good for a circus. Never good circus entertainment.
I understand why they did that, to show the superiority over Nazis, and they used animals like that. But you got to use your head. I mean, you know, you're losing the narrative on what you're trying to portray by the way you're portraying it, you know? It's like, because people are going to go, well, the Nazis are, the animals are seeing that, they're being, taken over and because they're Nazis and stuff. No, all I see is a fucking goat with a swastika running around. I mean, come on.
So you're
like a bad episode of Hogan's Heroes. I mean, what the fuck are you doing?
That is a bad episode of Hogan's Heroes. So you're saying the writing was not strong enough to convey the message.
No, it was not used smartly. You know, it was stupid.
Well, I mean, I don't even know. I mean, why circuses are for kids. Why do you need to include a more message in a fucking circus?
And nobody said anything. I mean, how about this seamstress when she's making an SS uniform for a fucking monkey and going, can I talk to you for a second? I got a question.
How come the monkey's in the black formal wear?
Yeah, well, before we talk, did you get done with the blankets for the goats?
Now, what happens
what are you
if... Would it have gotten the message more across if it was clowns dressed as Nazis?
No.
I think it's better. I wouldn't want it, but at least clowns are bumbling and stumbling and like fools.
But the thing about it is that, you know, the clowns were goose stepping and giving the Heil Hitler while juggling balls, which is kind of tough. I'll give them that. We'll let them fight on that. But after that shit, they're a problem.
Yeah, I just. There's some things that aren't good for circuses. Nazis are one of those things.
Yeah, swastikas are one of them.
Yeah, I mean, how bereft of ideas are you when you go, I got it. We're the Russians, because that's what we are, and we exert our dominance by parading the goats around, because that conveys victory.
That's what their reasoning was. And it's like they could also go, we didn't use elephants.
Can you just imagine these goats? Now they got to go back to the other goats, and the other goats are looking. Yeah, you're a Nazi goat. Don't talk to us. But the Nazi goat's like, come on, man. It was just a gig. You know, oats don't grow on trees. You know, I have to work.
Going to be a lot of dissension around the barnyard, you know.
Yeah, I mean, really, you're causing issues. I it's just fucking stupid. And really, they should have had geese. They really should have had fucking geese. That would have made me laugh. Fucking geese goose stepping around. And maybe a German shepherd. A German shepherd would have been good.
Yeah, but you feel bad for the German shepherd because he feels like he's being profiled for the gig because he's a German shepherd.
Yeah, no, he needs to take responsibility. You know? He needs to take responsibility. What's the German shepherd going to say? I was just following orders. I'm a dog. That's what I do. Not good enough.
No, but still, you know, the German shepherd, you force him. I mean, if I was a collie, what would you say? You know?
I don't think a collie would be part of that that act. I think collies have much higher standards.
Well, you know what? When I think of Nazis, I really don't think goats.
Well, they're the goats. They're the losers. I don't know. What do you want? It's a fucking small circus. What do you want, Joe? They couldn't get lions and tigers. What do you want me to tell you?
All right, relax. We're not opening tomorrow with it.
Maybe we will. It's a way to get press. Comics hit the road with Nazi Circus. Listen, Joe. I want you to do 10 minutes in front of the monkey, then bring the monkey up, do another five, then bring up the elephants, and don't do any time in between the goats, all right? Bring up the goats.
All right, I might have to do crowd work after the monkey. I don't know if I can do material.
That's bananas.
And you want to know something? As an MC sometimes, you're almost put in that position with a bad audience where it's almost like you have to go up after the monkey and mellow shit out.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I've never had a follow on Nazi monkey. I've had a follow on an act who's called the audience cunts and wish them death, but never a Nazi monkey. Not yet.
Oh, am I? Yeah.
Nazi monkey. Just so fucking stupid. So fucking stupid. Now these poor animals they have are fucking stigmatized because now their pictures are all over the internet.
Yeah.
They'll never work again, Joe.
Even if you go up after the monkey, you know, once everybody calms down, you know, you wait that point and go, the outfit was cute. Yeah. And then you get a groan. All right, relax, ladies and gentlemen. All right, your next act, you know.
I don't know. I get what they were going for, but no. They need sometimes you need somebody in the writing meeting to go, guys, we can't go with this. Oh, but I think it's really good, guys. We can't go with this.
But how many times you've seen a lot of times in theater, they don't use their head, you know, and it's like you can't do this. What's wrong with you? but the animals are the Nazis. I don't give a shit what you can have a fucking dolphin with a freaking Himmler hat on. You know, people are not gonna like that.
No. If you got a fucking dolphin swimming around with and can keep a little fucking Himmler hat on, I'm intrigued.
Well, he asked the dolphin, you know what he said? Uh-uh.
All right. We're going to take our... Wow. That was a Heil Flipper. Anyway, that was terrible. You know what you did. We're going to take our last break. Hopefully, Pip will rejoin us. Either way, we'll do some scammy scammers. On the break, we got new music from Be Infinite with Whip It and Peter Crusader with Attraction. And you can learn more about both those artists at I didn't load up the music at khb-music.de. Damn it! I'm having a bad night. I'm having a bad
night. You stink.
What? I stink.
You stink.
I do stink. It's like wow. It's like the guy saying it to me. That was a good impression of you.
I just like the guy.
It's the guy. It's the guy in the bumper. He said it to me. Now I feel honored.
Well, I told you this story in my one band. We were relearning an original song, and my bass player goes, "I don't know what the guy's doing here." I go, "You're the fucking guy."
We forget what we create. That is true. All right,
yeah.
Short break. Hear those bands. Hear those musicians. We'll be right back.